Welcome to Breaking Good, the officially unofficial podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 12, entitled Phoenix. I don't know what the hell is up with that title, but what do you know about this episode?
Well, you want to play the name game? Because I can play half of it now, half of it in the spoiler section.
I guess so. I'm clueless on this one.
The only thing I can think of that is kind of not spoiler is that, you know, we talked about the birth-death cycle, that Combo got murdered in the episode, the beginning of the episode. Holly was being born at the end of the episode. Here again, we've got, you know, we've gone from Combo to the birth of Holly to the death of Jane. It's a daughter being born, a daughter dying. It's also the name of the Mars lander featured on the news report that the Donald and Walt were watching and having a philosophical discussion about. Why they were at the bar talking about family. So there is a couple of meanings, I think.
All right, so the lander thing is good. I mean, that's
it's
a direct reference, but
a little bit of a Walt. I mean, he's kind of the Phoenix. He was in ashes of cancer, and he had just a few weeks to live, and now he has gotten, if this surgery is successful, in an indefinite stay of execution. So he's like kind of risen anew, and he's going to be stronger and healthier because he's going to be off chemo. So that's what I just made up in the last 30 seconds.
And it seems like maybe they should have used that name earlier then when, you know, he was actually told that.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is directed by Colin Bucksey, who has directed two episodes of Better Call Saul. No, not the first two.
They haven't aired yet.
Been Vince Gilligan and Michelle McLaren. Come on, man. Yeah, yeah. That was just this week. That was six podcasts ago, just this week.
There have only been two episodes so far.
Yes.
So I was curious.
No, he's directed two episodes of Better Call Saul, two episodes of The Bridge, two episodes of Fargo, four total episodes of Breaking Bad, a bunch of others. It's written by John Shiban. So crazy when he writes. He began his career working for The X-Files as a staff writer in the third season. He's part of the Villa Gang, as we've
coined. Oh, is he? Really?
He has.
You consider him part of that gang?
He writ episodes for Lone Gunman.
All right.
Four episodes of Breaking Bad. Also did a stint on Torchwood and Hell on Wheels. So
he's written in everything that Vince Gilligan has ever done.
in addition to that, Hell on Wheels and Torchwood.
Yeah.
I don't think Gilligan had anything to do with either of those.
No.
But also a lot. I mean, he's got a fairly long. I mean, obviously started the X-Files, but he's been writing a lot. He had dozens of credits.
Okay, so we're in good hands.
We always have.
And
that's
a
theme when you're talking about the Breaking Bad. There's been a couple of in the Villa Gang, like the Moria Beckett Wallet, Moria Wally Beckett.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem like she has credits outside of Breaking Bad. But you know, she's got the good stuff, and she's proven it with her track record here. There's some others here and there like that, but you know, hasn't been a lot of Power Rangers and Hannah Montana. going down with Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's good. And it shows,
Timon,
you know.
Pumbaa.
I mean, this is another excellent episode. This is one of those episodes that's up there in the pantheon of great Breaking Bad episodes for me.
Tell you what, though, you see a duck, you see a DuckTales, a Darkwing Duck credit. I'm not going to hold that against you.
Sure.
Rangers, Gargoyles.
Anything
gold.
From the Disney afternoon, really. I'm okay.
You're okay in my book.
Yeah.
If you cut your teeth on Darkwing Duck, you're A-okay.
For sure.
Do you know how hard it is to come up with I am the X that flaps in the night kind of? I mean, that every fucking episode, you got to keep it fresh. You can't repeat yourself sometimes two or three times. That's not easy.
You're right.
That is not easy.
Certain kind of creative mind goes into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right. What about the recap? Should we get into it?
Let's do it.
We start with Walt speeding over to the drop location for these drugs.
This was a dead drop, am I to understand?
Apparently so, yeah. He just drops them and leaves.
And got the money.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's a lot of money to just put out there.
A lot of money and a lot of meth to just, like, you know, do it CIA style.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, he calls his wife as he unloads the drugs, but Marie answers and says, hey, she had the baby. Tells him a little bit of the details, and then he tells her that he's stuck in traffic. He'll be there when he can get there. Lying to her, of course. Man, that's tough.
Where did that tire come from that flew out and ran over the phone?
So
that
I think while
awesome
he was driving,
that was an awesome visual. But I like, what the fuck?
Well, it came out of his trunk. He pulls it out of his trunk and he rolls it off.
Oh.
I think what he did is he put the meth under the tire so that if he got pulled over, it wouldn't be immediately obvious.
That made sense.
Yeah.
That made sense. Okay. Because I'm like, what the fuck? It's a very cool visual. But
like a tumbleweed just driving. Just...
But it was also moving. Like, yeah. You know, it had some velocity to it.
Sure. So Walt shows up at the hospital where Skyler hands him his brand new daughter. And he turns around. He sees, oh my God, who's here but Ted?
God damn it, you Ted.
It surprises him to see Ted there. He thanks Ted for driving Skyler to the hospital, and then Ted leaves, and Skyler sends Walt out to get her overnight bag.
Yeah, the scale of appropriateness here. I mean, obviously, Ted took her to the hospital.
Pretty appropriate,
super appropriate.
I think,
yeah. Stick around, after her family leaves, make sure she's okay. It's appropriate.
Yep.
Leaves as soon as her husband gets there. Excuses him, gives her appropriate. Kiss on the cheek. Oh, kiss on the
appropriate.
Kiss
I think.
On the corner of her mouth. It was a little less cheek, more in the corner. He's like right there, right there.
The kiss on the cheek is appropriate. Corner mouth kiss. I'm not so sure. Yeah,
mildly inappropriate.
A little bit.
Mildly.
It's okay though, because Walt is more enamored with the new child than he is worried about Ted swooping in.
If this was a South Florida video series, it'd be gone mild. Slightly inappropriate.
Okay, don't get it, but moving on. Actually, is there any chance this child was born on Friday the 13th after all? I don't know how close are to her C-section.
I have no idea what day it is.
But she was at work. It could have been a Friday. I don't know.
When did the Phoenix Lander land?
Oh, there you go. Good call. Look that up, and I'll move on to the next scene.
Okay, descend on a moon.
Unless you found it already.
May 25th, 2008.
What day is it?
Well, but it's actually when it discovered water.
Yes. They discovered water on Mars.
Which, the date they announced it, that's going to be impossible to find.
All right. Anyway, Walt goes home. He unloads the massive bag of cash that he grabbed and stuffs it all into the walls above his washer and dryer. I really, really like Dave Porter's score here. It's not as dark as Breaking Bad always gets. It's more bouncy. It's more like triumphant in a way. It's cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I agreed. I'm kind of preoccupied with this Phoenix Lander stuff.
I can tell, yeah. What do you think about the place that Walt stashes all this money up behind the insulation? I think that is a good place where Skyler will never see it. The only problem is if she's doing laundry.
You spend a lot of time looking at that back wall when you're sorting laundry, getting anything prepped, and like if there's like a hint of stack of cash.
Yeah, like, you know, you get a breeze coming into that garage or something. It slightly moves the insulation.
Yeah.
She might notice.
I think it's a kind of a ballsy place myself.
It's much more easily accessible than in the baby's room in the vent.
So
I don't think he could get away with that.
The NASA press release announcing the water discovery on Mars was July 31st, 2008, which was a Thursday. Now,
so you think maybe the news picked it up the next day?
That,
but it wouldn't even be a 13th, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a 13th. Yeah, so I don't know that this timeline is necessarily that accurate anyway. So
it also could be that she's weeks early, you know? Like, I don't know how far in the future that C-section was planned. So
like 2-3 weeks, I think? 4 weeks?
Okay.
Wasn't it?
It could be.
I don't know how much time has elapsed. And ultimately, who cares? Because
what
the tragic thing is that in the next episode, Skyler slips in the shower and it bashes Holly's head in.
Yeah, it's rough.
So Friday the 13th or not, it wasn't exactly a fortunate birth.
No.
Obviously, I'm joking.
I just...
Is it a spoiler that Holly survives through the final episode? Maybe she doesn't.
the brand new white baby... just makes it through 2 episodes. I don't think that's a spoiler, but we'll see. If people might complain. No, I just thought it might be, you know, a bad omen for the kid. And it would be ironic, or not ironic, but it would be rough considering Skyler didn't want to have that baby on the 13th if she had it then.
Sure. I still think it's funny that she did cause a lot of trouble by trying to schedule around a 13th. That's the thing, the chief irony.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Anyway. We go to Jesse and Jane. They're waking up from a drug-induced stupor, and they hear Jane's phone ringing.
I was excited because Junior was downstairs having dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he ate anything.
It's a confirmed non-breakfast meal.
Okay.
and change his first diaper. They're yeah. unrelated, as far as I can tell.
I hope so. So Jane's phone rings, wakes him up. It's her dad calling, and she has missed an appointment with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she notices, oh, someone broke in, and she tells Jesse, who kind of freaks out, and then goes in the kitchen and really freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes, oh, my God, the meth is missing.
Can you even imagine that?
Knowing how much that is worth.
What and the fact that someone knew that and went right to that area and stole it while you were asleep, and now you got to call fucking Mr. White.
Tell him, yeah, how mad is he going to be?
Like, the ice water down the spine feeling must have been pretty intense.
Yeah.
Pretty intense.
We go to the Narcotics Anonymous meeting where Jane is fidgety. She's listening to a guy talk about how he's been clean for a year. Afterward.
While she's flipping her 18-month token furtively.
Her fraudulent token at this
point. Yes, yes. What's the, you anything about AA or NA?
I know that there are a number of steps involved.
Is there an etiquette where you like have to turn in the chip and get a new one?
I imagine so.
Is like that a big deal?
I imagine you're probably trading up your chips, and they're going to ask for her chip and give her a one-day chip or whatever if they knew, you know?
Right. I imagine they encourage honesty, but they also can't, you know, it seems like another thing they'd have to preach is self-forgiveness. Like, if you have a relapse, you can't just go jump back into the needle. You gotta get off that thing. So there can't be like a lot of shaming. It's not like they're not like they're like ripping the stripes off her sleeves or drumming her out.
I don't think there's a lot of shaming, but there's not a lot of self forgiveness. You have to go ask for forgiveness,
really?
As far as I know. Yeah,
I don't know. I think
maybe that's not true. Obviously, I've never been in AA or NA or
is that obvious?
NEA.
Maybe you should be, Jim.
I mean, I have all my teeth, so I think I'm still good.
Yeah. So it's I'll be there to pick you up when you lose your first tooth.
All right.
And we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Her father asks her, you know, you look tired.
I just think it's funny that as much of a part of our podcast, alcohol plays, that you're like, obviously I've never been to AA.
Obviously.
I guess
you
that's
know,
true. Cause if
I'm drinking tea with whiskey.
You win. It just didn't take. You know, you got tired of turning into tokens. Yeah. So what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean... Exchanging my 2-day token for a 1-day got old after the 10th time.
2-day. Who are we kidding here?
So Jane's sitting down with her father, and he waves his finger, reverses time, sees what? No. he says that she's looking tired, and she says it's a tattoo she's been working on for some pimply-backed guy.
Snaps his finger, cigar appears in her mouth.
Yep. He also asks her about the guy next door, which she says... Why would I get involved with the tenant, as if she's never made a bad decision in her life?
Yeah, that's the thing. I actually thought my second trip through this episode that Jane's dad was remarkably trusting. I guess it's been 18 months
is a while, yeah.
And when do you stop being like, are you using again? My God, you got bags in your eyes. Are you fucking using?
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty compassionate dude.
A little too compassionate, I thought. Once he discovers that she's been using drugs and then... lets her have a day to get her shit in order because her plants are gonna die.
Yeah.
I thought
he's a little bit of he's a little softy.
Yeah, he's kind of a sucker for his daughter there, but
and you think that's gonna be, you know, how do you live with yourself with the knowledge that if you hadn't have bought that flower that plant story, your daughter'd be alive.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I guess so. She would have gone right to rehab. And
yeah, like if you said, no, bullshit your plants, I'll buy you new plants. Or I'll
water
your fucking
plants. How's he
going to
deal with the aftermath of this, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be devastated.
It's going to be something.
Sure. Walt and Skyler putting their daughter in the crib. Walt gets a call from Jesse saying that he got robbed. They took all the meth. And then in a real dick move, in my opinion, Walt lets Jesse kind of stew, hangs up on him without saying it was me.
So, yes, it's a dick move, but is it an unwarranted dick move? I went through a lot of, like...
Yeah.
Devil's advocate and soul-searching as this episode went on about, like, who's really to blame here? Because I think Walt's appropriate to hang up because Jesse's actions not only cost him the birth of his child, but also almost got them fucked on this massive deal, which was kind of like their only hope.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in light of Walt making such a confident statement to Gus that I can trust this guy. He does what I do, you know, blah, 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 all that crap. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I get that.
Then later on in the episode, when he refused to give Jesse his money, I'm like, man, you're not Jesse's dad. Quit trying to live his life for him.
Right.
And also, he gets that same advice from Jane's dad, but then his daughter dies.
But also, like, if you go to like first causes, right?
Uh-huh.
It was Walt's idea to push this meth into new territory. Jesse says it's a bad idea, man. We're going to get fucked. Mm-hmm. And Walt's like, no, blowfish, blowfish, blowfish. If Walt hadn't done that, they'd gone a little bit safer, stayed to their territory.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, Combo doesn't get shot.
Yep.
Jesse doesn't hit the meth pipe. Jane doesn't hit the meth pipe. Jane doesn't bring her horse kit. And none of this ever happened. So who's really... It's ultimately Walt's greed and pride.
I mean...
Which is the thesis of this whole fucking series. Yeah. So it's like, if you go back to all the way to first causes, it's kind of Walt's fault.
Sure.
But, like, it's
or let's take it all the way back to the Big Bang. It's the universe's fault.
Yeah, you know.
That fucking universe always getting in the way.
Hydrogen. If hydrogen didn't condense to form... You know,
and stars. There's your Phoenix reference.
Boom.
Done.
You're a Big Bang, Big Crunch subscriber then?
I like it all. I like it all. You know, I'll crunch, I'll bang, whatever.
I like my universe smooth, like peanut butter. No crunch. All right. Me.
Fair enough. Walt and Skyler put their daughter in the crib. Wait, I already did that. I did want to mention here, there's something kind of cool in this scene where Skyler is showing, or... No, it's later on when he's with Marie.
We're at the blue pool. I think it's when he's with Marie. We're at the pool party.
Yeah.
Okay. Hank's getting all freaked out at boobs.
I can't remember where it is.
Boobs at the table.
Okay.
He's one of those dudes.
Yeah, they're having chicken dinner in the backyard. Los Pollos Hermanos, which we know is the chicken place that Gus works at, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
Walt asks Hank about putting an alarm on the pool. And then Hank offers to pay for it, but Walt refuses because, you know, we know he has a ton of money.
Sure.
And he doesn't want to take advantage of his family like that.
Right.
That's not who Walt is.
Sure.
Skyler mentions that she's going to be going back to work soon, and Walt doesn't seem very happy about that. At the very end of the scene, Marie's like, how can we never get Chinese? That was kind of a weird thing to just throw in. You think that was just like, oh, she ad-libbed this funny line and we left it in.
I don't know. I could also see it as that Marie kind of being... I want to say out of touch. What am I trying to say here? Marie's always very surface.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's funny that, like, other people talking about how you're going to pay for this, and even Hank's like, well, you just, you know, got a printing press, just printing out 50. Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing something illegal, getting that money to your Walt, which continues to be a source of amusement. But Marie's just, like, talking about the food.
She's a lot like that. So the scene that I was going to talk about, and I guess I'll go ahead and talk about it here because it's perfect segue. Is when Marie and Walt are over by the baby and he is rolling up a towel to put under its back to keep it on its side. Marie's like, oh, they make a thing just for that. You can go buy one. And he's like, I think a towel will do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marie wants to go out and spend money on this stupid thing that they can just replace with a towel. She's very much like materialistic and
surface
level. But
on the other hand, I took that as a little bit of ironic because Walt's like, I'm going to get a sonar powered robot saving robot to patrol the pool. It's the RoboCop of pools, constantly on guard for babies drowning.
I want the Rocky V robot.
But come on, we can just fold up a towel.
Sure.
But I also was like, as a parent myself, I was unaware of the whole front sonar baby on the side.
Oh.
No, I don't give a shit about the sonar. I never have had a pool.
Yeah.
But the whole baby on the side, like, it seems to me that it's more likely the baby's going to roll over onto their belly, which is like Sidsville. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Sidsville. Population, your baby, if your baby's ever on its tummy.
You got
to
squeeze them between two towels and...
like a vice. Just put them in between a vice so they can't roll over.
Sure. But you're going to put towels between the metal and the baby. At least,
of course, you don't want direct skin to metal contact. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never heard of that.
That's how you get lead poisoning.
I think the babies could like get rid of vomit out of their mouth. and not, but then again,
Jane can't.
So. That's the whole thing. This is all like, if you missed all the foreshadowing before, this is what hits you right in the face.
This towel is foreshadowing too, because if you notice, when in this episode, when Jesse is learning how to do heroin, Jane puts a blanket or a towel or something behind him to keep him on his side to prevent the very thing that kills her.
Yes.
That says so much about Jane, kind of, you know, and then Walt's comments later about way to wear the pants or whatever. Jane is kind of treating him like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection there, is Walt doing that to his baby and Jane doing that to Jesse, which I thought, you know, that theme worked pretty well in this episode.
It's weird because Jesse was caught between a rock and a hard place. He is kind of passive.
He's got between it's daddy like, and mommy, which is Walt and Jane.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Yep. Yep.
It's interesting. I like when they do broader themes in this show, you know?
Sure.
Trying to say something about the characters.
Like men being afraid of breastfeeding.
Sure. Or at least Hank. Hank is very uncomfortable.
I'm almost amazed
when
I meet
breasts.
People like that. I'm like, they still make dudes like you? They're rolling you off the assembly line.
I guess so.
Get all like excited at the sight of a woman breastfeeding.
Oh, get excited. Is that what you thought? Or
no, like,
just worked up?
Just like, we're trying to eat here. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
All right. Fair enough. Later that night, the baby's
crying.
Go
feed your baby in a fucking toilet. Isn't there a shitty public restroom you can latch that thing onto your boob? Come on, man.
Later that night, the baby's crying. Walt gets up to quiet her in the kitchen, and he takes her to the garage and shows her the hidden money.
Daddy did that.
I like this scene a lot. It shows you, you know, Walt is super proud of this money. He's
yes,
now
he
provided
and
for
he
his
can
family.
Finally bring one of his family members into the inner circle.
He's the only one he can show.
Sure, because her brain is tapioca.
Yes.
She is about 12 months away from being any kind of interesting person.
Yep. Next day at school, Jesse shows up, confronts Walt about taking the meth. Walt says, look, you're a junkie. You made me miss the birth of my daughter. Not cool, man. Jesse asks how much they made and where his half is, and then Walt says he's not going to give it to Jesse because he just shoot it all up. Daddy is in full effect here.
Yeah. Daddy did that.
Yep.
Daddy gets to say when you get their heroin or not. Go to do a piss in the cup. I mean, that's a total, like, that's the move you make on your teenage kid that's failing
and
English.
It's more bullshit than that. This is the next fucking day. Walt knows he shot up last night.
Yeah, I was there.
That is going to come through in a piss test.
Well, but Jesse, on the other hand, knew he was there and was trying to pull this. I don't even like heroin. Heroin is so last night.
I agree.
And meth, I can... like, that's like...
But the piss test proves nothing. Walt is just bullshitting him here. Like,
so is Jesse. Like, it's, to me, the cup was just like, okay, we'll piss in this cup. We both know you'll fail. Right? Because Jesse knew he was in his house and saw him high.
No, totally.
Saw the spoon.
I agree with that.
Saw...
I'm just not sure that it's a one-to-one comparison here. Like, I get, Walt doesn't believe him, but it's something that... But he's just setting him up for failure, even if Jesse was telling the truth. Like, I'm done with heroin. That was the last time. The piss test doesn't prove that he's not done with heroin. It just proves that he did heroin last night.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And I agree that Walt doesn't believe him, and that's why he's doing that.
So on the other hand, it seems like it's entirely reasonable to say, okay, so I don't know what the half-life of heroin is. I assume...
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Walt's all got his panties in a bunch about weed, okay, and Jesse's been smoking a hell amounts of weed, it's going to take him 30 days to piss clean.
Mm-hmm.
480K is a pretty big carrot. Like, let's say it takes a week to metabolize all the heroin out of your system. Then take a week off, piss clean, he gives you your money. If you can't, then you've got a problem. This episode epitomizes why it's so hard to divide people into ones that root against Walt and ones that root for Walt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pretty anti-Walt. If you've listened to all the podcasts, you kind of know. But the things, to the extent that I was still a Walt fan, it's stuff like this. Because he, even though he's a complete asshole about the way he goes about it, he does genuinely care for Jesse.
He does. But I,
and especially from this point, like from the time he meets Gus, it's not even arguable that he needs Jesse.
No, as far as I'm concerned, I think they're done cooking at this point, right? Like, he got his money for his family.
Right.
He's going to give Jesse his half, and like Jesse says later,
because of the surgery, he wants you're going to figure out something.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
But like, he never needs Jesse to cook. Like, the only thing he needed Jesse for was to maybe show him the basics of cooking meth, although I feel like
just to
figure that out.
I mean, that's all he needed.
But he needed him on the street side of the equation. Yeah. Once that becomes, once he meets Saul, who's there like, I'm ready to make your connections, he no longer needs Jesse.
Yeah.
But his loyalty keeps him bringing back to, like, you know, a really dark Walt would just be like, yeah, here's your $480K, and you're going to throw it up your arm, and you're going to overdose, and I know where you hide your cash, and I either get it or not, or you're out of, I am effectively buying you out forever, all times. And he doesn't do that. Now,
no, and he makes it very clear that he feels like Jesse is family later on in the episode.
The devil's advocate side of me wants to say part of that is control.
Okay. I could see that with Walt, yeah.
Part of that, it's not just concern for him. It's also, I'm taking ownership of this person's life, and I need him to, you know, since he's rolling. Kind of like what Jesse says about Jane, like, I don't roll this way, and by extension, neither do you. It bothers Walt that his partner is a junkie.
Well, he has a lot of incentive, right? If Jesse gets caught, if Jesse rolls over on him, he could also end up going to prison for this.
Right.
He does have incentive for Jesse to make good decisions with this stuff.
But that's the thing I'm always struggling with when I'm trying to decide how I feel about Walt. Is like, where does the fatherly impulses end, and where do the maniacal control freak impulses begin?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, where you kind of come down on that. And a lot of other issues is whether you're still rooting for Walt, you know, or not.
Sure. Sure. And I think they've been asking that question, you know, more fervently as we've gone, because he started as his teacher and he cared about him on that level. And now it's even deeper.
Would you say it's fair to say that this is kind of the median point of people turning against Walt? Like,
I don't blame Walt very much for what he did, honestly.
For letting Jane die?
Yeah.
Asshole.
I know, for some reason, I have very little sympathy for people who,
you know what, I
don't have their shit together to that level.
And also, like, I forgot how awful Jane the junkie is.
She's an unholy bitch.
She's the worst, man.
Yeah.
She does a hell of a job portraying this. Like,
yeah,
she's a completely different person on heroin,
yeah,
than she is in real life. To the extent that, like, I don't think Jesse is.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse,
of course, Jesse's a junkie all the time.
Yeah, Jesse smokes some meth, and I feel like he's basically the same guy, just acting a little more fidgety and you know, more paranoid and weirder. But
right,
he doesn't fundamentally change. Like, he doesn't become some craven drug addict who's just looking for his next fix at all costs.
Sure.
Unlike Jane, and we'll talk about that more toward the end of this episode.
But I think that. And I was surprised because, like, I kind of was of that philosophy. It's like, yeah, I bet, like, you're right around 50% of the people turn on Walt for this. And I'm going to talk a lot about this scene
because
I got a lot to talk about it. But
talking about her death or?
Yes.
Okay.
And his reaction and what it's like to be in his head and, you know, how that all played out. But I don't know. To be completely honest, I had that kind of like mouth covered my, like, you know, like, you cover my mouth, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. But also like, ooh, what do I want to happen here?
Yeah.
Because
that's kind of what I wanted to happen.
Walt is right. This is a terminal situation.
Yeah.
These people with $480,000 are walking corpses.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't mean to let Jane die, but.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Walt tucks in the baby, goes to see a website that Junior
has made. I want to make something. Do you think that there is any thing about Spooge and Skank?
Yeah.
And their relationship, because this thing ended with Walt saying your junkie girlfriend, and then Jesse Wong a piece of lab equipment at him and exploded against Walt, and Walt's just shocked. Mm-hmm. Spooge and Skank. Spooge constantly pushed Skank to the boiling point until she dropped an ATM on his head.
Uh-huh.
I felt like that there was a little, more than a little, deliberate parallel between that situation and this situation. that Walt is just sees Jesse as this little child that he can just lecture and mm-hmm. grab by the nose and, you know, tweak and grab by the ear. That, but there is a boiling point and a point where he can be pushed and there's no recovery from.
Yeah. If he calls him Skank, it's over.
And I felt like we got pretty damn close this episode.
Yeah.
Like if Walt had come back something more vicious after the glass throwing, God knows what had happened.
Yeah. A fight in his classroom for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Walt tucks in the baby, goes to see a website the junior has made in his honor, and he really likes it until he sees that they are cyber begging. Skylar pulls him aside to talk about the
That's
site.
Offensive. That's offensive.
I
asking
know,
for
I know.
Money on the internet, cyber begging? What the hell?
What
the, what
kind of despicable?
That's a perfectly respectable business model. What the hell? Come on, Walter. I'm off your side now. Let people die. You know, make a product that kills people. You mm-hmm. you come down on raising money on the internet? Fuck you, pal.
We're working on
some of
killing
us gotta
people
eat.
With podcasts. We aren't quite there yet, but we're getting close.
Got to mainline it.
7 a week is just not enough to do it. I think, you know, if we double that output, we might get there.
That's true.
He loves it until he sees they're asking for money. Skylar pulls him aside. They talk about the site, and Walt, obviously disliking the idea, tells her, this is charity. It's charity, Skylar. He can't take charity.
Dude, it's... Yeah, he's an asshole at this part. Like,
sure. It's the problem from the beginning. It's the Elliot and Gretchen issue, right? Like...
You would think that the fact that your son's doing it.
Yeah.
Like maybe
let your son have the glory.
Yeah. Like glorifying yourself is directly diminishing Junior.
Yeah.
Like this dude spent some time to do this thing because he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't what we do. We don't beg for money. We fucking cook meth. Like, get the fuck out of here with that, Walt.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I was surprised. I was far more offended by his ranting and raving about how does this make me feel than I was by him letting Jane die.
Yeah, no, I completely get it.
Yeah.
Whatever that says about me. Marie says that they make a proper one of those. This is a scene with the towel under the baby. And Marie calls Junior Flynn in this episode. Like, nobody's flinching at that anymore, right? That was not a pun.
No. Marie's always been on the Flynn bandwagon.
Sure, but now...
Because it pisses off Walt, and she likes to do passive-aggressive things that piss off everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, Walt's just not on board with the Flynn thing still. But, you know, I don't know that he ever will be. Mm. Walt complains to Saul in his office that he has so much cash, but he can't spend it. Saul kind of runs through a couple of fairly funny options.
Uncle Murray. Good old Uncle Murray.
Yep. Walt doesn't like any of them because he won't get the credit for earning the money. And then when Walt mentions Junior's website, Saul says, hey, we should pipe the cash through that using bots, using zombies specifically. Cyberbegging is what he calls it here.
I call it make it a buck.
Oh, I like that Saul calls him out. He's like, yeah, no deep-seated issues there.
Exactly. Exactly, Walt.
Yeah.
So I felt like when I saw this, I got my theory about the Noah guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a little bit of a spoiler?
I don't know what you're about to say.
Anyway, I don't think if I stop there, it's a spoiler. I don't want to remember to talk about the spoiler section. But the fact that he uses that exact same syntax to talk about this hacker guy
mm-hmm.
starts to make me think that this is less... Something we can use as a predictive thing to make decisions about what's going on with Better Call Saul and later on in Breaking Bad, and more that this is just a way Saul thinks this is a cool way to talk.
Just a Saulism.
Yeah, it's a Saulism. I know a guy who knows a guy who's hacked a few computers. Like, okay.
All right, I could buy that. We go to Jane and Jesse again. She's teaching him how to prepare heroin and shoot
up. Wait, before we move on, just as a personal nerd moment... Do you remember when it was like super divisive amongst the nerd community to conflate hacking with cracking? And I felt that Saul's like, you know, talk mm-hmm. make a distinction between the two was a little bit. That's in today's day, no one makes that distinction.
Oh, they still do. Yeah.
No, but I don't think so. It's not hacking.
Popular mainstream media doesn't, certainly.
I don't think nerd community does either.
They do.
Like you might throw a white hat in front of a hacker.
No, they definitely do. If you go listen to like the 2600 radio shows, they absolutely do.
Really?
Oh, yes. Huh. I mean, anybody who is like an old school hacker is offended when you imply that there is a criminal element to hacking. Those people are criminals in their mind. They are not hackers.
Yeah, I think it's a bunch of bullshit.
All right, but I'm telling you, there are people out there who do not agree with you.
I thought that because, like, I've been, you know, there used to be, you know, early 90s, like, there was a controversy in the Trekkie community about Trekkie versus Trekkers.
Uh-huh, sure.
And I feel like that just has gone away. Like, it's Trekkies. Trekkies won.
It did. Yeah, it did. But, I mean, that's, you know, it's up to the mainstream media to determine that ultimately, unless the community itself puts up a big enough fuss to change it. And, unfortunately, those communities are not big enough to change it, to put up that kind of fuss, you know?
Okay, all right.
They're out there, but you're right, they're few and far between.
Yeah, 2600, that's still a thing. That's still a thing, for real?
For like 40 years, man. Yeah, they've been doing that for a long-ass time.
Wow.
I listen to it occasionally.
Oh, okay. See, my heyday of that was like 10 years ago.
Sure.
And I stopped giving a fuck about 5 years ago.
I mean, it's dubious, right? Because like hacking involves like lock picking now. And like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, to
things
me,
that aren't illegal on the face of it, but are almost entirely used for illegal purposes.
Right. Right.
They view hacking as more like a spirit of the thing. Like, this curious nature and tinkering with things for whatever your end is.
It's like saying, like, I don't know, like drawing this distinction between murder and like a lawful shooting.
We do that though.
Yeah, I guess we do.
We do that for a very good reason.
I guess we do.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, like it's still like, yeah, you're right. We do. All right. I withdraw my objection. We should move on.
Okay. Anyway. This is where she's teaching him to shoot up heroin. Jesse shoots up. Jane asks how much money Walt owes him. Oh, you know, 500. Not so much.
Oh, yeah. I'd be pissed if someone owed me $500.
Oh, no. It's $500,000. And then he goes into his coma. She's shocked. Her ears perk up. She goes, what? What? $500,000?
Do you know how much heroin?
I can go to New Zealand on that.
Do you know how much heroin you can buy for $480,000?
A lot of heroin.
Do you know how much heroin
you
can buy?
Sure, about, what was it, like 40 pounds? No, it'd be half that. So like 20 pounds?
What are you talking about?
How much did they cook?
That's not heroin, that's meth.
I'm assuming
it's cheaper than heroin, but I don't know. I do not know what the street value of heroin is. I honestly don't.
I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you what the street value of cocaine is. So
same here.
All right. I could probably tell you what the street value of booze is.
Tell you the street value, sure. Depend what kind of booze we're talking.
Exactly. And
black
I can tell
tar
you almost...
Mexican booze? Are we talking pharmaceutical grade vodka? What are we talking?
Sure.
Everclear?
The kind you smoke or the kind you shoot up? Like, you got to be specific.
You don't want to smoke alcohol.
No, but you
it's
can.
It's a fine line. You get burnt. You can shoot it up for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Multiple orifices, too.
I'm all about the wine bottle enemas.
Yep. Butt chugging, I believe, is what they call it. All right. Moving on.
Gotta be careful with that because you don't want to be butt thrown up. That's the worst.
Ooh, yeah. Oof. No.
Oof. Who hasn't been there?
Let's get into some house plants here. Jane's dad is at the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Jane is not. She has overslept once again. He calls her. He's waiting outside when she gets up. And then he goes inside, he sees all the drugs, he flips out.
This is insane.
This is exactly how I picture a scenario like this going down, though.
No, yeah, right. Jesse with the baseball bat, the dad that wants to just fucking murder him.
Uh-huh.
I can't even imagine being a father in this situation.
The thing is,
like,
Jane is at fault here, right? This is not Jesse's fault. He didn't start the heroin thing. He told her to leave when he was doing meth. It's not like
I'm not gonna,
he
oh,
drug
look, look,
her
look,
into
look.
It.
I think saying it's Jane's fault is a slight bridge too far.
Maybe so.
There are no truly innocent parties, and there are no truly guilty parties. It was, yes.
She made a conscious decision to do this and then introduced him to the heroin.
Sure.
So she's more at fault than Jesse. How about that?
Sure. I don't know. Because I could easily say that Jesse, you know, knowing that she's a junkie,
shouldn't even have mentioned,
and like, I don't know what the honorable thing to do is. Maybe you gotta like
gotta take a wicked shit, you go to the bathroom, you smoke meth.
What's that
you
movie
come back out and pretend like it never happened.
What's that movie I just saw involving Oh God, I finally watched the Harry Potter 8 Horns, called Harry Potter and the Case of the Uncontrollable Horns. You know, the Daniel Radcliffe made a kind of serious movie about him growing horns.
No.
You're not aware of this, really? Okay. Well,
it's a serious movie about him growing horns.
Yeah.
That sounds impossible.
It is, but it's actually fairly cool. I liked it, and I was about to spoil the whole thing, but I'm gonna pull it back.
I thought it was like Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Horns or something. Like, you were seriously saying it's a Harry Potter movie?
No. Okay. Harry Potter goes to shit once he gets to his 20s. It turns out, and he somehow cleans it up in his 30s.
Okay. What were you saying about it, though?
I have no. I was about to just spoil the whole movie, and then I realized that thing's only been out for like 6 months, so I should pump the brakes a little bit on that.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're curious about seeing what Daniel Radcliffe's doing, check out Horns. I thought it was awesome.
All right.
Very entertaining.
So after he flips out, he threatens to call the police. Unless Jane goes back to rehab, she promises to go back, but not until tomorrow because she doesn't want her plants to die. Jesse asks if she meant that after her dad leaves, and she says, maybe, but honestly, she just wants her money.
Yeah, if we had enough money, no one could make us do anything.
Fucking ugh. And yeah, I get really frustrated with Jane by the end of this episode.
We've seen Jane, the normal citizen that's not under the influence of an insanely addictive drug.
Yes.
She's an all right.
She's fine.
All right, mm-hmm. Lady.
Yeah.
Jane the junkie is a terrible, terrible human being.
Yes. Turns out a lot of junkies are.
She is an engine to acquire more heroin at any cost.
Yes.
And that's not surprising that she's terrible.
Yes. No, I'm with you. Money is not going to solve her problems, though.
No.
No. It's going to probably exacerbate them, make them worse. Anyway, I don't know if her dad just loves houseplants or something, but that line works on him like a charm.
I think Keith Richards needs to come up with a celebrity boot camp. That, like, okay, you've got tons of money and you want to do heroin, but you also want to live long enough to enjoy doing heroin. I'm going to teach you my secrets.
My secret is just to be a badass.
Have you read his biography?
I haven't, no.
So apparently his secret is...
What's it called? Stones?
I forget what it's called, honestly. But apparently the secret to doing drugs and living a nice long life is that you do it once a day. You just have a strict rule that regardless of, like, someone offers you another hit, you just decline. Because you can't, that's the thing, is like that he says that what gets people in trouble is chasing the high. But if you only get, if you smoke one bowl, if you take one shot,
if
you snort one, or just do it, you know, whatever it takes to get high, and then you just stop, then you don't go bad.
I think it takes a person with extraordinary will to do that.
You think Keith Richards has some kind of extraordinary self-control?
If that is what he does, then I think yes. I think yes. Because when you are...
That is some super selective self-control is all I've got to say. Because he's got the hook. He's got groupie buffet, the bug drug. I mean...
But that's not probably going to kill him, right?
It's essentially... It's a type of self-control that says, I'm going to go and fill up my plate once at Golden Corral.
But you're not going to eat yourself to death.
People do! Do you not live in this country, man? Come on!
But sure, they do it over... Like, if you did that every day, yes, you would fucking die. Like, there, your self-control would be like, I'm going to have one plate.
Have you been to Walmart lately? There are people eating themselves to death, left, right, and center.
Sure. And I would argue that they have less self-control than Keith Richards.
Okay. I think you need to write a book.
There we go. I will write my method on how I stay sober. It's tough. It's really
tough. You just
don't do it. Yeah, that helps. Anyway, Walt gets a call from Jane. She is demanding the money that he owes Jesse. Walt says, I'll give it to him, but only to him, and only when he gets clean. And Jane threatens to burn him to the ground if he doesn't hand over the money tonight.
Kapow.
Ultimatum. Is he pretending here only to recognize her when she identifies herself as Jesse's junkie girlfriend?
No, I totally think that he thought he was talking to one of his students.
Okay.
And he finally, yeah, no, I totally.
I think it's
that.
Funny that she is forced to identify herself as Jesse's junkie girlfriend, though. I mean, it says, "Hey, Jesse told me what you said about me."
Yes.
But then she has to say that to him. She's forced to repeat that.
No, Jesse's mouth was way too big.
Oh yeah,
this is something that, if I'm Walt, I remember for the future.
Especially coming off the episode where he's like freaking out about what they are, whether they're in a relationship, whether they're just banging. He gets too comfortable too fast, I think.
Well, Jesse the junkie turns out to be a terrible human being as well.
It's true. That is true.
There's a common theme here.
Yep. Jesse questions what Jane's going to do if Walt doesn't deliver the money. They're outside smoking cigarettes. She says it won't come to that. He'll cough up the cash. And Jesse needs to trust her because she's his partner. Jesse's got a new partner. Walt's no longer the partner.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, he's... Yeah, I don't know what to say about this. He's trying to say that, like, look, this isn't the way I want to kind of live my life, and I don't want you to do it too. And she's like, I don't care. He's my partner. I'm your partner. Like, she's... Uh-huh. She's turned into a heroin acquisition engine. That's it.
Definitely. Then we go to the White House. Walt is watching elephants on TV, and he's listening to Skylar sing the baby to sleep. Then Skylar comes in the living room and asks him to go get some diapers, and he packs up Jesse's money and heads out. This is a fairly powerful scene here.
Sure. Yeah. Got a little misty-eyed.
Yeah, the elephants, not so much. Skylar singing the baby to sleep, though. I mean, what's going through his head? Is he worried that he isn't going to be able to participate in her life much because he could be dying soon still? Is he worried that maybe all of the stuff he's done hasn't been worth it and he should be spending more time with his baby?
One more, Phoebe.
His
another.
Family? Another?
Yeah.
Jesse. Is he worried about the elephants?
Don't you think that this is something that he's thinking about Jesse?
He could be. Yeah.
And he's sitting here and there's this nice family moment and, you know, he's thinking about his family and everyone's safe under this roof, but he's also got this weird affection for Jesse. And what does he do? I don't know. I thought that was what's eating at him. And Skylar coming out and saying, I need you to go out on a diaper run is just like an open invitation to go sneak off and do Walt things.
Yeah.
Which kind of speaks to the level of trust and commitment they have. Like, man, it's been several episodes since I've gotten a whiff of Skylar smoking him out about anything.
Yeah. She seems to be off that scent for sure. A couple of times this episode, he has some latitude to go out.
I mean,
for
he missed the birth of her daughter. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
that.
Know. Cause like, you know, we talked about this when it comes to Justified, whether she's Ava-ing him mm-hmm. or not.
Yeah.
Winona-ing him, whether this is just her not wanting to fight.
Oh,
I just don't want to fight. I know this is all bullshit. I don't want to fight. I don't care. And I'm going to lower the boom on you in my own time. It doesn't feel like that, but it's still something on the table.
Sure. Walt gives the money to Jesse. Jesse says he'll never hear from either of them again. I like the moment where he comes up and to the door and he's like, not you, Jesse. The ball's on her to think she can come to the door and just grab the money.
Oh, and she's grabby.
Yeah.
Grabby.
Super grabby. I'm glad he does what he does there.
Why are you being grabby?
You don't get this money. This
Why
is
being
not
grabby,
your money.
Mr. Grabby?
Yeah, I appreciated that. Not a lot to say there, though.
What do you think about the nice job wearing the pants? He's goading his... He's going after his masculinity.
He is, yeah. And I mean, you know, he's... I don't know. It's mommy and daddy fighting over the kid, honestly. Like,
I'm just saying that's pretty... Going after his masculinity when there's so many other things on the table is kind of weak sauce.
Yeah, yeah. Like, way to be not a junkie.
Yeah, like there's nothing
way to have some willpower.
There's nothing wrong with the women in one's life having input into the decisions that are made in your mutual lives.
Sure. Yeah.
The problem
that's
is
that's a very sexist comment for sure.
The problem is when it's all about heroin and you're in some kind of suicide pact. That's like
there are bigger issues.
Yeah.
On the table here.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, he tries to tell him, you know, he's making a mistake. Jane slams the door in his face. And then she opens up the bag, proclaims that all of their problems are over. They're moving to New Zealand. They're not going to shoot up all of this money. And then immediately Jesse's goes into the bedroom and shoots up.
Jesse's going to be a bush pilot hobbit. And it's funny.
That's where I'm like, fuck you. She says we should flush all this as she's looking at it. And the very next scene they've shot up.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
But we knew that's going to happen, right? Oh, you're going to flush what we got, or are you going to stick it in your arm?
Completely. But still, I can say, fuck you. You're making all these bold claims about what you're going to do with your life, and then not 2 seconds later, you're shooting up. Like, that has to register in any sane person's head.
Man, I've never been there with drugs, but I've been there with
But when you do it, you realize you're making bad decisions.
And I don't think that they didn't realize they're making bad decisions. Like, I've never been addicted to drugs, man. But I've been arguably addicted to video games. I've been, you know, in times of my life where I've depressed and I withdrew into other activities. But
sure.
And the whole time, like, you're wrecked. Like, okay. This is the last whatever I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do the thing that I'm going to do. And it's like, that's something that you can... I'm still a huge procrastinator, and it's like, I'm uncomfortable watching this stuff because it reminds me of my current level of bullshit justification in my own life.
No, everybody's got a little bit of this in them, but I feel like they're more deluded than the average person.
Certainly, here. Certainly. Heroin is a powerful... powerful thing to put in one's life. It's like, you know.
Yeah, that's too bad. Anyway, at a bar, Skylar calls about the diapers while sitting there drinking. He lies about, you know, I'm trying to find them, pulling up to Walmart now. That attracts the attention of Jane's dad, who happens to be sitting next to him. And they talk about their kids and their family, which, you know, Walt lumps Jesse in there, pretending
colonizing
he's a nephew.
Mars is in my kind of conversation.
They do, yeah. Well, it starts in a conversation I can get behind and then turns to family and whatever.
I'd have heard them talking out of belly up and be like, have either of you read Robert Zubrin's A Case for Mars?
No, I have not. Please explain it
it's
to
much
me
less about
detail.
It's much less about the water than about the methane. I mean, come on.
Come on, Walt, you should know that. Jane's dad says, you can't give up on him. You can't give up on family. We find out that Jane's 26, almost 27.
So older woman.
Slightly older, a couple years older than Jesse. Yep.
Sure.
There's a lot of advice here from Mr. Margolis. I think that's his name.
Donald
Margolis,
Jane's
I think.
Dad. The key thing here is that Walt has to think about it for a minute, but he internally designates Jesse as family.
Yes. And it's thinly veiled behind the nephew thing. That's also it registering in his own head.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I like the advice here because it goes along with the theme of Jesse being this baby. He says you can't infantilize them, live their life for them. And that's, you know, exactly what he's trying to do with his daughter. And that's exactly what he's trying to do with Jesse.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, I mean, that's all these themes rolling together, that you can't infantilize them, that we've seen, you know, Walt treating his baby the way Jane is treating Jesse. And
yeah,
you know, the way she it's like I said, I like how a lot of this snake eats its own tail in some of this stuff. It feels somehow richer and more meaningful.
Yep. Ready to talk about the final scene?
I am so ready to talk about it.
All right. Walt is inspired by that conversation. So he goes to Jesse's house, presumably to apologize, I think. Or maybe he's inspired more by the you can't give up on them and he's back there to knock some sense into him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, he's not answering. Walt busts in through the back door, sees him passed out. He goes to shake Jesse, try and wake him up, and Jane rolls over on her back. She starts puking. Walt watches, and she dies.
So, a couple of thoughts here. Walt as a active or passive participant in Jane's death?
Active.
Yes.
but also in a lot of kind people, of inevitable way, right?
A lot of people, like, a lot of people frame this, well, so a lot of people frame this as if, well, Walt took a passive allowing Jane to die.
But he caused but her his, to roll over.
His, yeah, and Jane is a careful junkie. It's arguable that maybe she never overdosed. Maybe they successfully put all $480,000 of that up in their arm, and then I don't know what they do.
Or maybe they moved to New Zealand with it, and this really was the last time.
But Walt did say, you can't argue that Walt's actions directly contributed to it. It's not like he showed up and she just rolled over and choked, which I think is how a lot of people remember this episode.
Yeah, that's completely wrong. He shakes Jesse. It knocks her on her back.
So there's the chain reaction there. Mm-hmm. Secondly, Bryan Cranston's a genius, and his reaction here, where he goes to start his initial instincts
his
as a
human
kind,
reaction,
his human reaction is to go help her. Uh-huh. And I started thinking as I was watching this all happen, because you know you have the luxury of like seeing this for a second, third time, and like, wow, what is worse in your mind if? From a holistic standpoint, if you see this person choking in death and your first reaction is fuck them good, or is it worse for you to see this and know that I need to help this person, that's the right thing to do, and to consciously override the human thing to do for the more pragmatic thing to do?
I think that's better because it shows you're not as far gone.
But it feels like that's going to cost, like, if your first reaction is, fuck you, I'm glad this is happening, that seems like the consequence to your soul is going to be much more slight than if have to say, man, I've got to really stop myself from doing this. I have to make a conscious effort and watch this woman die.
No, that you're absolutely right. I mean, the consequences to Walt are far more devastating than if he had been fuck you the whole time or gone and put a bullet in her head or something.
How much debate do you think went on in the writer's room about how to play this?
Probably a lot, I would imagine.
Because it's like there's so many shades of reaction as you can have to this event. You could go all the way from the like excellent, this is working out for me perfectly, to all the way to Walt. Do you think that there was serious debate? And God damn it, I wish I had time. I have very little time this week because we're behind the eight ball with a bunch of technical issues this week. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to listen to the Insider podcast. I want to, because I want to hear if there was debate about whether Walt should have let her die, or whether Walt should have when Walt should have arrived, whether Walt jostles Jesse. I mean, how much of that was a debate, whether he jostled him and had a direct impact, whether it was just a passive thing, whether he got there too late. I bet
there was a lot of debate. I'm sure it started as the kernel of Jane dies.
This is a very pivotal moment in Breaking Bad history. This is a lot. This is, I think, you know, when I said this feels like the median point of no return, a lot of people cite this is looking back the time where they could no longer support Walt.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure there was, it started as the kernel of Jane dies, you know, the plot point, the point in the outline. Then they go, well, how does Jane die? Well, what causes Jane to die? Who is responsible for that? How much do they try to interfere? I think there was probably a lot of internal struggle on this.
Do you consider Jane an innocent?
No.
Why not?
Because she, like, I still view her as a big cause for Jesse getting into heroin, period.
So
and
you...
I don't think Jesse ever gets into heroin if he never meets Jane.
I feel like this is a Malcolm X situation. Did she land on Plymouth Rock, or did Jesse Rock land on her? Like, I'm kind of the last... After watching the season again, and again, yes, Jane the Junkie is a giant bitch. However, it does feel like Jesse and Walt is something that happened to her, rather than something that she was actively looking for. In fact,
but it would have been fine if she didn't make that choice to go back to smoke crystal meth. I mean, you can't put it all on Jesse and Walt.
Oh no, everyone's a free agent, but you know, and who knows? Like, maybe Jane was just looking for an opportunity to start using again. And you know, there's a big argument to say that she knew what she's getting into with Jesse, and maybe she was waiting to get, you know, she's not been dating for a long time. I take from her conversation with her father, and that she starts a relationship with someone that she knows right away as a drug dealer is somewhat telling. But, you know.
I think there's enough blame to go around for everyone here. I view it as Jane is a little more at fault because she has made some bad choices.
Do you think that Walt had to kill Jane, or that Jane had to die?
She made those choices in the sober light of day, too. It's not like she was drugged out of her mind and made a bad choice to go do heroin. She made the conscious, sober choice to go smoke meth with Jesse. That's like
a big thing for me is her line where she was arguing with Walt and he said, how do I know if you won't, that you'll not say anything about this? And she says, you don't. Like implying that had they run out of the $480,000, this situation would boomerang back around. That I think is something very cunning that the Villigan slipped in, because that makes it more, it's arguable that this is something that Walt is in his best interest to allow to happen.
Yes. He's not just looking out for Jesse here. It's also looking out for himself.
And Jesse saying, you'll never hear from either of us again, is weak, since he knows that Jesse is going along with what, you know, we know Jesse didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
But Jane did it and he allowed it. I mean, I don't know how you keep Jane from doing it at this point. Like, you shouldn't have blabbed your mouth about Mr. White's affairs if you wanted to keep that genie in the bottle. But no, I don't know. There's a lot of shades of gray here. A lot of shades of gray. I have a feeling that we'll have a lot of feedback telling, you know, getting a lot of people's individual reactions, because this show is fascinating at how it breaks down to people's individual reactions. Do you still root for Walt? Do you root for Jesse? What are you wanting out of this? Why are you a fan of Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
This is a bit, Breaking Bad is probably the biggest hint in the Bald Move lineup, that it attracts the widest range of personalities, personal tastes, and all that. Where, like, in a way that Mad Men, The Leftovers, Walking Dead are extreme ends of, but Breaking Bad is this enormous tent in the middle where the action junkies and adrenaline junkies and the cerebral junkies and the character development can all kind of get together.
The heroin junkies.
And seats. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. No, they all come together here. You're right.
We've had a lot of meth junkies write in over the years, or former meth junkies. I imagine if you're still meth junkie, you've got better things to do.
You've sold your computer for drugs.
Exactly.
You're not writing in on your phone. No.
Not unless you've been to Keith Richards' celebrity boot camp. Then maybe.
Yes, celebrity drug boot camp.
I would watch that on Star.
Yeah, it's not about getting clean. It's about doing drugs.
Responsible self-abuse is what he teaches.
Yes. So this is another reason. So they go straight back to heroin. This is another reason I say that they're deluded about, you know, we're going to go to New Zealand. We're not going to shoot this up. Jesse earlier tells Walt that was it. That was the last time.
Oh, yeah.
He straight up lied. I mean, he came back and he did the same thing over again. I feel like in the moment where he told Walt that was the last time, he believed it. Like, that's why I'm saying he's deluded about what his proclivities are.
Have you seen Louis C.K.'s latest skit? He just released it on his website for $5. He's got this really funny skit about his daughter and lying and, like, the first time she told a lie. And he's like... And I've had this thing, too, with my son. It's like, lying is such a fucking superpower. It's hard to tell a child why it's bad to lie. Because lying seems like it solves every fucking problem you throw it up against.
Yeah.
And you have to get to where you've destroyed trust and seen the negative impacts that you can never really get back before you realize, oh, that's the problem with lying.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's a tough thing.
I did it with my boy. Did I ever tell you the story of what I did with my boy?
I don't think so.
First time he told me a bald-faced lie.
Slapped him across his mouth.
No. I'm like, oh, and I just, like, had the speech, and I could tell that he was just like not getting it. So I'm like, okay. It was like in the morning.
You lied to him?
Yeah.
You lied right back to him?
Lunchtime. Hey, buddy, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. let's get like $20 package and play video games and all that kind of stuff. And like, let's just have a great, good old time. Get him. Oh yeah. Get him all ready. Get him dressed, start driving.
Oh man.
And I went to, I think, Panera, the place he like a place a kid just doesn't. And he's like, oh, I thought we were going to Chuck E. Cheese. I'm like, yeah, I know, I lied. And like his face, like it all came like, oh, gee. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a problem with it since, but, yeah, that was my solution.
Sure.
Out of the box.
Give him a little taste of his own medicine.
Yeah. That's why you don't lie, kid.
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel like that.
Yeah. All right. That's the episode.
It is indeed.
That's it.
It is indeed. Hey, if you'd like to support Bald Move, and I encourage you to do so, because if you're enjoying this podcast, you have to do so with the full realization that it wouldn't be produced. You wouldn't be hearing it if we weren't doing this as a full-time job. We can't do the full-time job without you. That's your active support. You can go to support.baldmove.com to find out all the great ways. There's lots of different memberships you can sign up for, and there's different ways you can donate money to us. But one quick and easy way, we've been talking about it of late. We've got this beef with Bezos. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. More on that later. But it works. Until he shuts us down, it's still an effective way to fight the resistance and also get us paid. If you go to amazon.baldmove.com, you can be redirected to Amazon, and you can do shopping for your pool patrolling, baby-saving robots from the future, your exquisitely folded baby towels to keep you from choking on your heroin-induced vomit, your giant, large, you know, $800,000, $840,000 plus $880,000, whatever, duffel bags full of cash. You can get all that stuff on Amazon.com and enjoy great shipping.
Can I get a Mars lander? Can I?
You can get a Lego model
of
a Mars lander.
Okay.
It's the next best thing. You can get it on Amazon.baldmove.com, and not only do you get all those cool things, but you also get to send us some love. You also get to keep our bits flowing, keep us producing these podcasts that are getting you through today. You can keep mainlining, if you will, the Bald Move podcasts. So again, amazon.baldmove.com.
Or hit it in the show notes. It's also in there.
It's also in there. And we appreciate you for being you and for the support you give us. Thank you very much.
We probably have a lot of feedback to get to, don't we?
Not a ton. We have a decent amount of feedback.
Oh man, this is a milestone episode. Come on, people.
I know. Some long form takes, but not a lot of them. It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's
sure
Valentine's Day weekend, man.
Okay, there you go.
People got other things to do. They got
giving thanks for being in a relationship.
They got 8 balls of heroin to do with the ones they love.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you fill those towels, people. So anyway, first feedback. Angela B. wrote in with just an enormous amount of questions, only a third of them having to do with Breaking Bad. I'm going to have to get back with you on the rest, Angela, but I will consider the Breaking Bad-centric ones right now.
Okay.
Number one, churros. Last week, the week prior to Mandela, Jim admitted he's never had a churro.
Yeah.
This is a travesty. First with the breakfast pizza, now churros. Has Jim really lived? Have you really lived, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah,
no breakfast pizza, that's no churros.
That's a fair question.
Because I think the treat that Aaron was thinking of was empanadas. They are Mexican Spanish pastries similar to churros in flavor, but stuffed with some sort of filling. In fast food restaurants, they usually stuff them with custard or apple pie filling. Boom, that's the one I was talking about.
All right.
There was a place called Mooresville before we had a Taco Bell called Taco John's. And Taco John's made the most delicious cinnamon apple empanadas. And they came in these like little, like these long paper sleeves. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, they're so good. So good. And then we got a Taco Bell, and they went out of business, and Taco Bell shit. point the second, candle wax. I looked through a lot of Yahoo Answer type sites, as well as hippie vegan natural lifestyle websites, to find out if candle wax that drops on the birthday cakes is at all edible. There seems to be no in-between source that I can find online. The majority leans either towards no, candle wax is not edible on your cake, but it's not going to kill you either. And some advise to be safe and choose.
Thing. If it doesn't kill you, it's edible. Come on. Right?
I can't argue with that logic. I subscribe
can I
to
put
that.
It in my mouth and swallow it? Is it going to kill me? No, then it's edible.
Boom.
Done.
But some advise to be safe and choose 100% beeswax for cakes only.
Yeah, that's
it's your
bunch
choice.
Of beeswax.
but I'm 29 and haven't died yet, and I've definitely ingested plenty of candle wax Latin icing.
So yeah, if you can swallow it, you're good. It's
point,
edible.
Point to seven, and yes, I did skip 4 points. Restaurant rules. You both expressed hatred for the social convention and restaurants that the servers check up on your table all the fucking time. And I have to agree. I went through training at the Brown Social House last summer, which is equivalent to the Cactus Club or Earl's or Milestones. You guys probably don't have any
none of those.
She's
register.
Canadian.
Okay.
She's Canadian. I don't know all if right. you got the slight waft of maple bacon off of this email, but she's Canadian.
Okay.
You probably don't have any of these restaurants in the States, but they are classier than pubs, but speak to a more wealthy white person urban crowd.
Applebee's.
Like St. Elmo's.
Oh, like that classy? Like that's fucking Chris. Classy.
It's not. No, it's not. That's
St. Elmo's?
That's
well,
middle class
you
classy.
Can walk in there with jeans, but you're an asshole if you do.
No, I disagree.
Yeah.
As a guy who's walked in there in jeans, did not you're consider an yourself asshole. An asshole. You get dressed up for St. Elmo's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They specifically say they're casual dining.
Yeah, they're wrong. Any really nice steak restaurant, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yes, that is.
Bruce Chris, I get fucking dressed up. You can walk in there with jeans.
Hmm.
But that's not a casual dining place.
Okay. Well, I wear shorts and flip-flops, so what do you think?
All right, so I'm picturing Applebee's in my head.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We're good.
One of their actual lessons was how to do this. No joke, we were taught that once we bring a dish to your table, we had exactly 1 minute and 30 seconds or 3 bites to come back and ask how the meal was. 3 bites!
3 bites?
It's ridiculous. It's
ask
going
how
to annoy...
the meal was? Ask me how it is, because I'm still fucking eating it.
Yeah, I... that must be because I've noticed that. Like, as soon as I cut my steak, is everything cooked to your satisfaction? Like, I don't know. It seems like you can't win because you're either making rules for introverts because mm-hmm. there's some people that like the steak is ice cold and it's rare and they ordered medium and the baked potato is not cooked and the salad sucks. There's a hair and they're not going to say anything.
That's when you get your hand up, right? Like, you go, hey, come on over here.
There's some people that won't say anything unless they're invited to. There's like people like me where, like, I cut in a steak and it's like fucking medium well and I ordered medium rare. I'm like, my first thing, my eyes come up, I'm scanning, where's my waitress?
Yeah.
I feel like why don't they teach that, like social cues rather than fucking time?
Yeah, that's time is for robots. Time is for, you know, is
time is for gym because you want food dispensing robots.
Well, I would, if my food were dispensed by robots, time would be a fine thing. If I were a robot eating the food as well. I'd be okay with that, but yeah, you're right. If I'm looking actively for a waitress, they should notice that. Certainly.
Point to 10th. Why didn't
or a waiter? Didn't mean to be sexist like Aaron over there.
I don't know, but if you knew this, but all robots are female.
Oh, I thought they were agendered.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay,
that's the fourth law of robotics. why didn't Walt become?
They gotta have a hoo-ha or a dinghy. It's in there. Trust me. Read Asimov or Isaac Asimov.
It's right there after self-preservation. You must have a hoo-ha. 10. Why didn't Walt become a college, university, or oversight teacher to make more money? She says, well, I don't know how the teachers in the U.S. get paid. Spoiler alert, poorly.
Yeah.
But here in Canada, we make sweet fuck all. Usually people just become high school teachers because it costs significantly less to get all that degree and you make a decent income. Becoming a college professor or a university professor requiring a master's or PhD is so ridiculously expensive and the job market is so scant that it's not an option a lot of prospective students go looking for. She also submitted a link about the... I don't know. I don't know how to call this the economics of becoming a higher education teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I'm almost done with my PDP, which I don't know what that is, in order to teach high school and have only settled for that instead of getting an MA because of the cost to salary ratio.
Yeah, she's right. The scarcity of the jobs that do pay well in education lead to people, not going into that field.
I feel like that, and of course, as a person who never went to college, I have no idea. I don't even know what a credit means or how it works. But it seems to me that a lot of academia are people that didn't set out to be that. They got into a degree and selected the master's and went to PhD. And then because of their undergrad and postgrad work, they ended up being an assistant and then,
getting grants for research projects.
Exactly.
And then...
It's not like you set out to be, I want to teach X in a university.
Some people do, but yeah, you're right. They're few and far between. And I feel like a lot of the professors are also people who have worked in in a specific industry, you know, use their higher education, their masters, their doctorates, in the private sector, and then went over to public.
Elizabeth G said the scene where Jane chokes and dies is so memorable, on the top one of the top scenes of Breaking Bad. What I didn't remember is how nasty, mean, and threatening Jane was to Walt on the telephone. Yeah. I'm not saying Walt and Grabby. Don't forget Grabby in person.
Yep.
I'm not saying Walt was justified to let her die, but it reminded me that Walt was neutralizing a threat when he didn't stop Jane from choking. Which I felt like we talked about. Jane is a mean addict and a manipulative like most addicts are. She played her dad. She even called him daddy to get out of going to rehab that day. Jane's reaction to her interaction with her dad was interesting to watch, especially since he had just woke up from his drug-induced sleep. Why did Walt go back to Jesse's house? What did he think another visit would accomplish? Why? That's a good point. What was Walt's plan?
It was either to slap some sense into Jesse, or it was to say, I'm sorry. You know, the advice that Donald gives him is don't give up. And also you can't infantilize him. He might've been feeling one of either of those emotions.
I'm going to try to tell the truth from a point of love. Yeah. Liz's theory is maybe Walt hoped to find Jesse alone and thought he could get through to him if Jane wasn't there making all of Jesse's decisions.
Possibly.
And yes, that money would have ended up in Jane and Jesse's arms. They couldn't stay motivated to not use drugs for the length of time it took to walk down the hall. They both looked longingly at the heroin and the meth when they got to the bathroom, the bedroom door. Boom. Both in agreement with that.
Yep.
That's all we got for feedback. We got some more in the spoiler section.
Yeah.
If you'd like to give us feedback, you can do so, of course, at breakinggood@baldmove.com, on forums.baldmove.com, where we have the weekly podcast and episode thread. Also on Facebook.com/baldmove, and you can tweet at Jim on Twitter @baldmove, which is also a great place to stay informed. Like, you know, Twitter's super easy. You want to get the Bald Move signal, subscribe to our Twitter feed. You know, the second our podcast drops.
And you'll actually see all of it, unlike Facebook.
Yeah, where
they fucking artificially block your...
Somehow I have 5,000 fans and only 400, 500 people see each post.
Yeah, such bullshit. It's because we're not paying $50 per post to promote it.
Yeah. But yeah, we're not bitter.
No.
Zuckerberg.
Not at all.
We're coming after you after we defeat Bezos. That's the
next. Oh, yeah.
After we dispense, after we take care of the
Copper Lord. We're using Bezos pennies to come after Facebook.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We're locked and loaded with the pennies.
The Zuckerborg.
But yeah, that's all we got. We got a little bit of a spoiler section, but we'll have the finale.
Yeah.
Of the season, episode 213 ABQ coming up next week. It will be a barn burner.
It will be a lot to discuss on that one.
Very in Aaron's mind, a controversial episode.
Yep.
I can't wait to see what people have to say about it. Please send your takes. Breaking Bad, Breaking Good. BreakingGood@baldmove.com.
All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. Be back next week with that. If you're sticking around for the spoilers, do so. If not, see you later. Till then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. Have a pleasant evening.
And we're back with the spoiler section. What do we have this week?
Let's play the name game, part two.
All right.
We find that next episode that Jane was actually born in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. All right. Cool.
That
could be a reference, yeah.
And also her whole, you know, one daughter being born, one daughter dying, that kind of feeds into that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I got to say, two airplanes... A lot of times, you know, the colloquial term is bird, birds, two birds Phoenix striking each other into a ball of fire.
Yep.
Some fiery cataclysm. This is the season that Walt becomes kind of like Heisenberg full on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little Phoenix imagery there, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And also the Mars lander, of course.
There were a couple things I noticed in this episode that are foreshadowing. For instance, at the very beginning of the episode, when Walt is driving in to make the drop, his car sounds just like a jetliner. Like, they're using the jet engine sound.
Seriously.
When his car comes driving in, and then it morphs into, like, a more hearty car sound.
I know they've done that before.
Yeah.
In this season. There've been a lot of jet sounds and jet imagery.
Yeah, definitely teasing that. And then the other one I noticed is when Donald is talking to Jane for the first time, they're at the NA meeting. He's saying, you know, oh, how's your job going? My job is going good. Although they're hiring anybody with no experience at all. I thought that was interesting given that he is the one that causes the crash.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's just like a weird way to kind of foreshadow something that you think is going to happen, and then it happens a different way.
Yeah.
I like that.
I agree. Something I picked up from Arya's site on Seriable. He mentioned that he saw a lot of the fatherhood parallels between Walt and Donald, but also in the way they dressed and appeared. Very similar styles of dress. Also that Donald has the trademark Heisenberg goatee. And he wondered if this is something that he took away from, you know, this is kind of like a death trophy. Although
Donald doesn't die. No,
he tries to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think so. And he ends up in the hospital.
But you know, he can't take a goatee from Jane, so he takes it from her father.
He could take a studded belt from Jane.
He could start wearing
a studded belt.
A bear eyeball.
He does do that, yeah.
So maybe that's what he goes. But I thought that was interesting. Another one that I forgot, that there's a cold open in 311, which is this next season, where Jane and Jesse, I believe, are at the Vagina Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they eventually got there, and Jesse says something very romantic, and Jane says, "That was so sweet. I think I threw up in my mouth a bit." That's not what is that? That's not foreshadowing.
No, that's a callback, I guess.
A callback. Here you go. It's not backshadowing. It's callback. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
Anything else you want to talk about? Because we got a fairly lengthy email from Scott.
Yeah, let's go to Scott's email.
And this is all about ABQ. And I thought about saving it for next week, but I'm like, I feel like we're going to get a lot of feedback about these type of points, so I want to get the ball rolling.
Okay.
Scott V said, "I just want to put my two cents in on the airline accident plot from Breaking Bad. I agree with Aaron that I didn't care for it. In fact, I hated it. If you'd asked me before the rewatch which season was the worst, season two was it." Now, that's interesting because I think I would have said the same thing too. But man, there's a lot of good stuff in season two.
A lot of really good stuff.
It's hard. Breaking Bad's a very hard show to say which is the worst season, and it's a very hard show to say which is the best season.
Yep.
My gut says season four is the best, but I kind of want to give it to season five because of how hard it is to end something like this.
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, the level of execution in every season is just so good.
Yeah.
So high. I don't know how to really properly rank these seasons.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about a season five, which builds off the rest of the series.
I kind of think I still have to make season two my least favorite just because this is all building to what I consider a very wrong-headed scene. But let's let Scott have his say here.
Yep.
He goes, "On the rewatch, I've realized how much the plotline colored that season for me. I now think it's a very strong season."
Yeah.
"And I'm right there with you, 12 episodes into it. They did so much good stuff in here. You guys have talked about how they plotted out season two from start to finish. I think this time it worked against them. Totally agree. There have been many episodes that start at the end and then flashback to watch how the characters get to that end. Villigan and crew are great at that. However, here they tried to do it with the whole season. They did it too well. All second season, I was stoked every time they started the intro in black and white, the eyeball, dudes in hazmat suits, wandering through the White's yard. All I could think was he cooking meth there? Was there a shootout? Who may be dead? All I knew was something big happened." And that's the thing. I want to take a break from his email. I, coming into this 12th episode, was like, this finale has got to be something fucking out of this world, because this has all got to come to pass in one episode.
Yeah, you were looking for the season four finale.
How is this going to happen? But who knows?
Yeah, who knows? No, it's a bit of a switcheroo.
That doesn't change.
You know,
the longer it went, the more the expectations were built up in their mind, and I can't blame them.
I felt like it would have been perfect to go out on this episode.
And I was excited. He,
right?
Scott,
like,
continues.
What a season
Looking
finale
back,
that
anything less than a recurring cast member in a body bag was going to be a letdown to me. Mm-hmm. I remember calling out bullshit to my wife when the crash happened.
Ringing in the studio.
I was stunned.
Right. Yeah, I think that would have been a great season finale.
I was like what I imagine the Seattle dying, Seahawks fan was
watching,
after this most recent Super Bowl.
It,
just like, what did I see? How did this happen?
I don't think there's any way.
What does this? Am I still a Breaking Bad fan?
Especially with
it. What the fuck? And let me ask,
like you,
Aaron.
Scott,
one thing I
want
to say for next
stretch
week, credibility
put in your ear is
that this would ever happen. Add
what
that
if they did
the
plane crash
really didn't
without
change
any
the status
build up
quo of the series, and I felt cheated, which is another big problem.
Which yeah,
really,
yeah, okay.
You tease
like,
this with the body bags, and
not
shit,
to spoil anything from this
of
episode of Justified.
Happens,
but yeah, but this week's episode of Justified 604, there was something
big surprise,
very shocking that worked very, very well. If there had been a black and white 30-second intro that built up to this situation, and then you saw it as the climax of the season, does it work?
Yeah, not as good. Certainly
I kind of wonder, like, if you just didn't have the black and white scenes and just happens as a shocking coincidence and it's not your expectations built up, I wonder if it works better that way.
Probably better. I don't know if it works completely still.
In fact,
just because
like,
of the coincidental
that black and white
of
stuff
the
is
event
only cool to the fact that it actually lands and hits. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's something I want to talk about next week.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to make some notes on my show notes. But that's it. That's all we got for everything. We're done. I've got like five other feedback emails I've saved at the top of my notes for ABQ because I've been stacking them up.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get plenty more before then. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you next time.
Bye-bye.